Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
Should be in the vicinity of 5 a.m. and you're listening to all, oh, sadly, another WBAI colleague has passed away. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners wherever they may be.
And you can find out a little bit more about this program by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. And when you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame in the left side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest back of the book program links. Click on that and you'll get to the web page for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 165th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story in several named multiverses for this past week is that we are holding at the tremendous total of 125 followers on Twitter, or X, or whatever it's called right now. Oh, all of the beings that can listen to anything in all of those multiverses are shocked at such a huge number of followers. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held this Wednesday, February 14th, 2024 at 7 p.m. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. It's going to be Valentine's Day. Gee whiz, I wonder how lovingly that meeting will go over. And a sad note, longtime WBAI producer James Irsay died this past week. He was doing a program named Morning Irsay for the past few years. James had been at WBAI before I showed up a mere 42 years ago. He was a classical music scholar, and he played concert piano. He also did freeform live radio, which is what we're supposed to be doing right here, but we're made to do it pre-recorded, which kind of makes it different. But, oh well, these are the circumstances we're dealing with. However, he did freeform live radio, and he did all of those things I mentioned very well. For a little while, he was the lead-in program to the lead-in for this program when Back of the Book aired on Sunday nights, Monday mornings. And the news rebroadcast was in between us, and he brought a lot of listeners to those of us airing programs after midnight. I remember one time in particular when I was in the station and not about to go on the air or anything, and he came in looking a bit frenetic, And he went on the air and spent the entire 2 hours talking about his experience with meeting a woman near Coney Island on the street in the wee hours of the night and telling about how he was falling in love with her. He, in fact, ended up in a relationship with her. Yeah, I don't know how long it lasted. I don't know if maybe it was still going on. But he told that story so well. There were a bunch of us in the station, and none of us could stop listening. We were remarking to him, this is really good. He was a major asset to WBAI and a good person, and he did excellent radio. He is missed. WBAI will do a 24-hour memorial to James Irsay on Sunday, March 3rd. There's also a 2018 interview with him online that I'll link to on the webpage for this radio program. And yes, we're going to miss James Irsay. He was a good guy, and oh, so sad to see him go. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has a website. It's called the CDC website. And it says that as of their last reading, which is actually a week old by this time, that's the way they do it, the death toll in America from COVID-19 was 1,176,639, which means that 2,013 people have died from COVID-19 since our last program a week ago. So the weekly death rate is down a bit. It's 467 deaths lower than the rate a week ago. Well, that's good. In winter, infectious diseases usually spread more rapidly and efficiently. And I'm wondering if the weather is having an effect on that. Around here, we've had warmer weather, which doesn't help it to spread as well. And then in other parts of the country, we've had this tremendous set of storms going on. Some of them have, some places have had warmer than usual weather, and a lot of places have had tremendous storms that will essentially clean the air. They do other bad things, but they clean the air. So maybe that has something to do with the death rate dropping in midwinter. Of course, some people are oblivious to COVID-19 because they think that the pandemic is over, and that's another factor. The pandemic is clearly not over. Pickles of the North and I are mostly still keeping our masks on. We've gotten our new shots, so we don't want to get this disease. A couple of program notes. We're again recording this program in our bedroom instead of our living room. I still haven't learned how to figure out how to fix the HP 2200 printer because it isn't grabbing the paper as it gets ready to print anything. So we can't print anything if the paper can't be transported through the printer. Then I got to figure this out. Another program note is that this past week marked the 42nd anniversary of me doing my first produced program on WBAI. I first became a WBAI staff, unpaid staff person, in November of 1981. And I immediately was on the air with the rest of the Gay Men's Collective, and I was doing stuff. We read the news. We did things together. But we also had programs that were fully produced by a single producer. And this past week marks the 42nd anniversary of my first producing a program all by myself on the air. It was a little bit messy. I didn't get all of it in on time. While some of it was airing, I was still editing the tape to go rushing in to hand Lynn Samuels the rest of the program. And she said, "Don't do this again." Oh, well, so 42 years of doing a produced program on this radio station. Good grief. I hope we can keep this place going. And I'll tell you how we can do that later on in the program. some good news. Donnie Bonespur Trump is not immune to the law. Yeah, this week, the three judges on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals rejected, in a 57-page ruling, Trump's absurd claim that he couldn't be prosecuted for any crimes that he committed or any actions he took while serving as President of the United States. He had claimed that what he did on January 6, 2021, was perfectly legal. The judges wrote, quote, "We cannot accept former President Trump's claim that a president has unbounded authority to commit crimes that would neutralize the most fundamental check on executive power, the recognition and implementation of election results," unquote. And then later they wrote, quote, "We cannot sanction his apparent contention that the president has carte blanche to violate the rights of individual citizens to vote and to have their votes count," unquote. I'm glad to hear that. The court also rejected Trump's claim that he could not be criminally prosecuted because he was acquitted at a Senate impeachment trial. Yeah, well, we know how that damn stuff works. Trump now has until February 12th to get a ruling from the Supreme Court to hear a potential appeal. And apparently his lawyers are working on that. Some of Trump's lawyers are really bad. One wonders if they're going to be able to do it. I mean, will they get in a day late and say, "Oh, we have it now." And, you know, they'll show up with a piece of paper that's partly handwritten. And, oh, that would be amusing. Oh. Anyway, so if he can get a ruling from the Supreme Court by February 12th about them approving an appeal, that would just mean that they're going to hear the appeal. That's all. It doesn't mean they would rule for or against him. It means they would say, "We'll accept this case to review." If the Supreme Court agrees to hear the case, it would delay things while a ruling is awaited, and it could result in that trial being put off until after the presidential election this November, which I'm sure is what Donnie Bonespur Trump wants, because then he could tell his whoever gets in there, his attorney general, drop this, and like all the MAGAites, his attorney general would immediately drop it because, you know, he's their god now. Trump's campaign has denounced the ruling, saying, quote, "Prosecuting a president for official acts violates the Constitution and threatens the bedrock of our republic," unquote. And they said that they are going to appeal it, if they can figure out how. So now, however, they're saying that what happened on January 6th, 2021 was an official act of Trump as president. I wonder if that assertion of Trump's lawyers can be used in his prosecution. He's been saying, "I didn't do nothing. Somebody else did. I didn't do nothing." But now he's saying in a court filing that, he did it, and it's official, and there you go. So that would be nice if this particular attempt to weasel out of getting convicted of his crimes resulted in him getting convicted of his crimes. There's a good chance that the Supreme Court will decline to review this appeal ruling, partly because all three justices agreed on it and said, yeah, this is ridiculous. Partly because, yeah, it's ridiculous to say that he's above the law. I mean, you know, the Supreme Court dealing with the law and some people are above it? Really? Is that sort of something you want? Oh, boy. Anyway, if the Supreme Court declines to review the appeal, then in that case, the trial could start sometime around late April. And the right-wing supermajority on the Supreme Court may just calculate that if they say that a president can do anything at all and not be put on trial for it, that this would allow President Biden to have all six of them removed from the court in a very permanent way that's illegal. It's also being speculated that the right wing in the court wants to give Trump the right to be on that ballot, and so they want to balance that with not letting him have immunity for all crimes that he commits. If the Supreme Court does not decline to review the case, if they take it up and say they're going to consider it and review it, then it's probably going to push off that trial until after the election in November, which will be unfortunate. I want to see him going to prison on election night. You know, that will be good. He's there in cuffs, you know, going into his orange jumpsuit and saying, oh, gee, they stole the election again. Oh, God, these people. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. Radio's Pickles of the North has been following a particularly important item for the past couple of weeks here. And my dear, why don't you tell us about this?
Yes, this is more important information from the European Union's Copernicus Climate Change Service website. And they are the people that made those amazing graphs that showed how the global temperature has been going up and up and up. And it ain't good, folks. The 2023 Annual Climate Summary, Global Climate Highlights 2023, this is part of their website, and this is directly taken from it, this information. All days in 2023 were more than 1 degree Celsius above the pre-industrial era. 2023 marks the first time on record that every day within a year has exceeded 1 degree Celsius above the 1850-1900 pre-industrial level for that time of year. Close to 50% of days were more than 1.5 degrees Celsius warmer than the 1850-1900 level. And 2 days in November were, for the first time, more than 2 degrees Celsius warmer. That's 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit warmer. The reason this is important is it doesn't sound like a lot. It's like, oh, the whole world, it's just those little numbers. Well, those little numbers do mean a lot, because every tenth of a degree, the world temperature goes up. Many, many things happen, and most of them are bad. And I was getting a little confused myself about, well, what is this, you know, the pre-industrial era and the dates 1850 to 1900. I wasn't quite sure what that meant exactly, so I went to NOAA's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's website, climate.gov, and I found an article by Ian DiLiberto about this that had been posted on January 9th. And I'm just going to quote a little bit from it. History books date the Industrial Revolution between mid-1700s to mid-1800s. Scientific definitions of pre-industrial revolution range from 1850 to 1900. Why? Because that's the earliest time period with widespread, consistent surface temperatures. And that makes total sense. People could record those things. That makes complete sense. But you're going back, you know, before the 1700s. You're not going to be able to do stuff like that.
It's going to be spotty at best, yeah.
Yeah. So that makes sense. And what is the, why is the 1.5 degrees Celsius an important number? Well, because back in 2015... there was something called the Paris Agreement, 195 countries. They knew things were getting bad, and the scientists figured out if we could curb global warming and not let it get any higher than 1.5. Some things could be reversed. Some things would not get as bad in terms of storms, island nations being completely submerged, droughts, everything we've been living through more and more today would not be as bad as it would be if the temperature kept going up. Now, there's a time period that scientists look at, and this is from the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Their time frame is 2021 to 2040. If we can keep things from getting a lot worse, if we can, be lower than 1.5, which doesn't look like it's happening anytime soon, but if we could, not get beyond that, we can stop a lot of bad things from happening. And that is the time frame. So it's going to take looking at the global temperature, the yearly global temperature, for some years before we know just what exactly is going on. And that's a really hard thing to think about and deal with, but we have to.
So 1.5 degrees Celsius is 2.74 degrees Fahrenheit, since in America we're just going to stick to our old way of measuring things, and the hell with metric. And so it's a bit less than 3 degrees Fahrenheit, which doesn't sound like a big deal. But I remember reading, this is decades ago, that if we got to 2.5 degrees Fahrenheit, it was going to be a big bleeping deal, and things would happen that people couldn't predict, but it would be bad. And now we're well past that. Now we're at 2.74 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah, that little bit extra past it makes it even worse. And this was sort of predicted to be something that would happen in a future of our current future. This is happening sooner than had been predicted, even by people who were raising alarms like 40 and 50 years ago about this stuff. So I think the deal is we are heading for bad news territory. I think some worst-case scenarios look like they're on track to happen to us. They're going to happen to us all. And, some people will say, but we had a cold snap in there. Well, if you have a cold snap in January or February, you don't really get too worried about that because it's supposed to be cold in January and February. This reminds me of the snowstorm that swept across the whole country several years ago, and some idiot recorded the scene outside her window, her big picture window, and it's full of snow and the snow is all piled up, and she keeps repeating, what about global warming, Obama? What about global warming, Obama? Because he was president at the time and said, yeah, global warming is a problem. And this idiot couldn't understand that just because it's snowing on her right now doesn't mean global warming isn't happening, because things do not stay in place. The warming is not uniform. Depending on what sort of landmass or water the air is over, it's going to get more or less heated. And if it's over water, it's not just going to get heated, it's going to get warmer water vapor pushed up into it and more of it. And so what happens with weather is we all know that the air moves. There is wind. And this happens because some parts, this is all about energy. This is about energy in the atmosphere and every place else. The ocean is, of course, heating up. And the weather is mostly the atmosphere getting heated in some places and is hotter there than in other places. So it expands a bit. Well, the air in the cooler areas gets expanded into. And, of course, we all know that when a a cold front and a warm front meet, you get a storm because the warm front is naturally going to have more water in its more water vapor in its air, and so it's going to rain usually or precipitate or whatever you get. Hail, rain, snow, who knows what. In any event, so that's what happens. It moves around like that. And then we're seeing jet streams that I've never seen before. The jet stream is splitting in a very strange way. It used to be that in the summertime you had a particular jet stream that dipped down. It got past the Rocky Mountains, and it would dip down a bit into America and then come up toward the East Coast and travel off to the east. And now we've got some strange stuff going where the jet stream splits. It splits around the Rocky Mountains. We saw one in the past week or two where the jet stream split into two streams just after it got past the north of the Rocky Mountains. And I've never seen that before. I think that's something that's unusual. And so what happens is the heat, the energy, is getting moved around. And then you've got the jet stream moving stuff from way up north down, and that makes it cold sometimes. But that means, as the first law of science from Beekman used to be a TV program, a science TV program for kids years ago, which was really pretty good. And Beekman's first law of science is everything's got to go somewhere. So the very cold air gets sucked down by the jet stream to the lower latitudes. Well, that means that up by the North Pole, something's got to fill that in. It isn't going to form a vacuum. So air from other parts of the world goes in there, and that air is warmer. And so you have the warmer air going up there, and it's mixing around. And so that's how we get big storms. The storms are stronger because they have more energy in the air molecules that are moving around. And so, yeah, that's why we're getting very high winds in storms and why there are more big storms. It used to be that a 1,000-mile-long storm that went through the entire width of the United States, that was that was unusual. That wasn't a very common thing. And now it's a common thing. Plus, we've had a number of 2,000-mile-long storms going across. And, of course, it goes from up in Canada to down to Mexico and the Gulf of Mexico, because 2,000 miles is a lot longer than the width of the United States. And so you have those whipping through, and they're not weak fronts, they're strong. And so, yeah, we're seeing this now. We are really in a science fiction movie at this point in time, because I remember reading about things like this in like the 70s, maybe a little bit in the late 60s, and all sorts of dire predictions were made, and it was considered, oh, this is like, you know, visiting your office on Mars or something. It's so far in the future and probably won't happen. And now we have that temperature, that 2.74 degrees Fahrenheit, that's warmer for the whole world. So, and again, it doesn't stay uniform for the entire planet. It gets hotter here, and it keeps moving. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean things are getting cooler anywhere. It means things get hot, and they push stuff, and that makes it hotter. We're in trouble. This isn't playtime. This is serious trouble that we're in right here. And, and Trump took America out of the Paris Accords for climate change because he doesn't believe in it. He doesn't believe there's global warming. He doesn't believe there's climate change. And, of course, all the spineless Republicans follow him and say, there's none of that stuff. That's just what liberals lie about. Yeah. Meanwhile, they're certainly not shy about applying for federal help when the floods hit, when the super hurricanes hit, and when the crops are going to start dying soon. Oh, man. I mean, this is part of why we've got some of these people coming in at the southern border. Down in Central America, a lot of people can't grow their crops anymore because it's too hot. And it doesn't take a ton of heat to make the crops fail. And it doesn't mean the crops just don't grow at all. It means the yield is lower. You get a lower yield on the crops. And so if people are getting like 10 or 15% less yield on whatever their crops are, that means, one, they're going to have a financial hit, but also it also means there's not enough to eat. And that's what's happening in some parts of Central America. And people are saying, we can't live with this. We're going to die if we stay here. So they start marching north and they come to America because what the hell? There's no global warming happening in America. We can see them saying it all the time. Hmm. It's here. It's obviously here. It's going to hit us. And when it does, that will be a big, bad deal for the world because the United States puts out a huge amount of grain for the world. This also means that other places that grow various kinds of food are also going to get hit the same way. We're doomed.
Jeez.
Why are we doomed?
Because all you of Earth are idiots.
And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. So right now, we're in midwinter, and we're headed for spring. Spring, when you start getting a lot of light and it's going to get warmer, you know, in general. And yes, we were just talking about the warming being a problem. On the other hand, I'm not stopping it all alone here. And I do prefer spring. I've always preferred spring and summer. I like to be warm. I don't like to be cold. I haven't been all that cold this year, which in one way is good for me, and another way is bad for everybody in the world, especially the people in the future when it's going to, well, we've talked enough about that for the moment. Anyway, we're in midwinter right now and we're heading for spring. The vernal equinox will be on March 19th at 11:06 p.m. Eastern Time, and that's when we'll be hit with spring, March 19th. Oh, whoopee-doopee! And something a little bit closer. Right now we're in midwinter. We'll be in late winter as of February 19th at 2:46 in the morning. So we'll enter late winter on Monday, February 19th at 2:46 in the morning. And late winter is frequently not known for being fierce. So we probably are gonna, by that time, not be having any more problems with big snowstorms. Not that we've had any, but it'll be very unlikely after that time. And then the vernal equinox a month later on March 19th. Oh boy, oh boy, here comes more light. And that's something I like. In another note, it's Lunar New Year today. So Merry New Year to everyone who lives by a lunar calendar. I know I don't.
Yes, it's the year of the dragon.
Oh, scary, scary stuff.
Oh, it's very fun, and go out and celebrate. It's a very fun time. And then, of course, coming up next week is Mardi Gras, which actually all the pre-Lenten celebrations have been going on since like January 6th. A lot of them start, well, you know, Epiphany or Little Christmas or King's Day, whichever you choose to call it, if you choose to do so. You have a lot of festivals going on around the world, you know, in Europe, you've got them in the Caribbean, you have them here, of course. The most famous celebration is in New Orleans. And so there'll be lots of fun things happening. You can watch parades online. Get yourself a king cake. Oh, that looks good.
What is Ash Wednesday this year?
It's on Valentine's Day.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's terrible. Because when I was a kid, the thing everybody did was, oh, yeah, I'll give up candy for Lent, which was hard to do. But, boy, to have that happen on the day when giving people candy is a part of the celebration, oh, the suffering.
You didn't get a special dispensation to have some candy on St. Valentine's Day?
There is no St. Valentine. No, there isn't. There's no St. Valentine. Well, it's Valentine's Day. And people make believe there's a saint involved. Apparently, there's no St. Valentine.
Well, you know, St. Patrick got booted from the church, too. But, you know, everyone chose to ignore that who was involved, you know.
Jesus Christ. But, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. It's going to be Lent will start where Catholics are supposed to give up stuff, and kids mostly give up candy for the entire time until Easter shows up, which is why on Easter, one of the things you get on Easter is candy, because you can finally eat some. But, gee, Valentine's Day, when candy shows up too, was something to look forward to when I was a kid, but not if it's Ash Wednesday. Oh. And since we're talking about a calendar here, I will note that Life Day, which is something I celebrate every February 12th, is this Monday. And I did a program about that. I did a couple of programs about that. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to post a link to the latest program I did about it on the webpage for this radio program, and it will be a link to the program on the WBAI archives. And if you care to, you can listen and find out, why is it called Life Day, and what happened that R. Paul commemorates it for years and decades? And a short, fast computer note right here. As I was trying to do some things earlier today, all of a sudden, Microsoft tried to force Windows 11 on me. Holy hell! It was a full page, and I said, what the hell is this crap? And it's there, and it says, click here to upgrade to Windows 11. And it had something else there that just said, and find out more. I'm looking at it, how do I get out of this? I don't want Windows 11. They're going to stop supporting Windows 10 next year, early next year, and that's going to be a problem. And I don't want to go to that, and I don't know what I'm going to do when they switch to Windows 11. I don't know. I mean, I've got a lot of stuff that I don't want getting moved to that. And a lot of my software will simply break. And unless I'm willing to spend a lot of money to get versions of the software that will run on 11, there's also the fact that I have software that cannot be upgraded to 11. In fact, in a little bit, I'm going to be editing this radio program to send it to WBAI to air. And the software I use to do that, I have to go through rigmarole to get it to start now on Windows 10. It's not going to be able to work at all on Windows 11, I think. So I've got a whole lot of software like that. I get onto software, I keep it. Oh, man. Anyway, so Windows 11, beware. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I don't want to go to it right now. I don't want to have the torture begin a year early.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
So the Republican primaries are going on, and of course, God, Trump is winning them. And the others have dropped out for the most part, but this Nikki Haley person is still running. And she lost to a choice on the ballot of, quote, none of these candidates, unquote, which is an interesting way to do things, in the Nevada primary. And this happened after she was given airtime on Saturday Night Live last week. Pickles of the North and I were not at all pleased to see her there, and she got to dump on Biden. Gee whiz. Thanks, NBC. And we were not pleased with this, and we, in fact, turned off Saturday Night Live without even waiting for that opening sketch to finish. And this week, Saturday Night Live is having on some comedian named Shane Gillis, who was supposed to have been a regular member of the Saturday Night Live cast like 5 years or so ago. But he was fired before he ever got on the air because they discovered racist and homophobic parts of his act. And now I'm reading that Gillis's act at an event last year has surfaced, and it shows his act featuring racist, homophobic, and ethnic slurs. So I don't know, maybe Pickles of the North and I are just going to bag Saturday Night Live for a couple of years or something. If it's going to be like this, it's not going to be worth watching. This is terrible stuff. What's going on with them? I know that some of the cast members, it turns out, did not like them having Nikki Haley on there. What about when this creep shows up? Oh, God. So Nikki Haley lost to none of these candidates. Speaking of none, a Pew Research study has come out that finds that the religiously unaffiliated, which includes atheists, agnostics, and those who say their religion is, quote, nothing in particular, unquote, is now the largest group related to religion in the United States at 28% of the adults. Catholics are 23%, and evangelical Protestants are 24%. Well, I hope that helps this country to get away from the problems caused by organized superstition, because those are problems. We're glad to be in the none category. Yes, it's very nice to realize that our efforts to stop organized superstition from polluting people's minds, our efforts are bearing fruit. And, oh, man, this is good news, really. It's good news because it means more people are less attached to these structures, these societal structures that were invented to control other people. That's what they're for. Oh, no, you got to go to the priest, the rabbi, the pope, the Ayatollah, whatever, and say, oh, you know, we gotta do what you tell us because you speak for God or the gods or whatever the hell it is.
Or people saying, oh, you can't be a good person unless you believe in God or follow a religion.
Yeah.
And all that stuff, which is just not true. It's just not true. I'll tell you, it was the best decision, one of the best decisions I ever made when I was 14 years old. It was like, I remember being thunderstruck at an earlier age, thinking, oh, that's the Lord up there when I was a little kid. Oh, well, you know. And then 14, it was like, well, why is God a man? Why can't he be a woman? And it's like, why can't there be no God? Boom, 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 boom. Dun, dun, dun. And then I had to wait 4 years before I told my parents. Yeah, I'm not going to church anymore because that would have just... I saw what happened to my brother when he snuck around not going to Mass. It was not a pretty... It made for some very tense dinners.
I remember that... brainwashing I got when I was a little kid in Catholic school. Oh, man, they go after you. And they start drilling you with this terrible stuff, you know, all this bloody stuff and all. And so I got all of that. And I was 20 before I finally said, all right, that's it. This is make-believe. Because I had, as a teenager, I had started saying, well, what's the basis here? You know, they I was believing in it and saying, well, but they have this God and Jesus H. Christ, and we're supposed to do this. But part of it was, of course, that the people who are so holy and religious were behaving at odds with what they were supposed to be doing with, you know, Jesus H. Christ says this, and they were doing that. And I'm saying, this is so universally done this way. You know, are they all going to hell? Am I going to be lonely when I get up to heaven? And eventually the thought occurs, well, at the basis of this, how do we know any of this? How does anybody have any reason to believe this? We've got these other things that claim they have the one true God, or in some cases, they have their multiple gods who are the real gods. And certainly you look at some polytheistic religions, and you know, Catholicism just says, ha, ha, look at that, and they just, you know, kick sand on those religions. And I'm saying, well, wait a minute. The arguments for how ridiculous polytheistic religions are, you turn that around, and it applies to monotheistic religions. So, wait a minute. And so, yeah, by the time I was in the Army at the age of 20, I said, no. I am having too much. It isn't just that I have doubts now. It's that I'm quite certain that this is ridiculous. And it makes no sense to keep making believe. So that's it. I no longer believe in the God of the Catholic Church or any of the other gods. So, yeah, I was much later to it than you were.
That's when you got to be the atheist in the foxhole.
Yeah, well, that was like a year later. Didn't have a foxhole at that time when I was 20. When I was 21, yeah, I was the atheist in the foxhole. Chugga, chugga, what's that I see in the distance? Oh, no, what? Well, I think, could that be? Could it be? Oh, it's the WBAI pitching train coming in. Oh, man, the pitching train is here. Oh, and it has the WBAI pitching hobos on the pitching train. Yes, that's us. We're the WBAI pitching hobos on the WBAI pitching train. And we're here to beg you for money. This is listener-sponsored, non-commercial WBAI New York. Listener-sponsored, non-commercial means we don't run commercials. We do run public service announcements of a certain type, but it's, you know, stuff like look both ways when you're going to step out into the street so you don't get run over by a truck, which happens so much more often these days. And so we do things like that, but those aren't commercials. We don't sell, like, cars and TV sets and things like that. What we do is we seek you out. We seek you to be our listener sponsor. It's not just a slogan. It's real. We ask you to become a listener sponsor of WBAI. You do that by calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying when they pick up at the call center that you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And a BAI buddy is the name we have for people who are sustaining members of WBAI. And a sustaining member donates to WBAI on a monthly basis. And what you can do when you call 1-212-209-2950 is say, hey, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. and they will ask you for your credit card or debit card number, and they will then ask you how much you would like to donate on a monthly basis. You can donate from $10 up. You can do $10, $15, $20, more if you can. I think you can also make it like if you want to do like $12.50 a month, you could probably do that, I think. I better check on that, but I think so. But $10, $15, or $20, there are people doing that. So we wish some people would call 1-212-209-2950 and become BAI buddies and do that in the name of Back of the Book. At the call center, they will also ask you what day of the month you want to have your credit card or debit card billed. And you'll tell them so that you get billed on a date which is good for you. Like you may not want to have your card billed at the first of the month. That might be a time when there are conflicts. You might want to have it in the middle of the month. On the other hand, maybe the middle of the month would be when you have it. Have a conflict. So somewhere in there, in the general time of however many days are in your month, and this is a leap year, so we're going to have 29 days in this February. And so you go and you tell them, yeah, I want to be billed on whatever day of the month, and that's when they'll do it. By doing that, you help to keep WBAI surviving. There are people who are saying they want to sell WBAI. There are other Pacifica stations who are not doing well. We're not doing that well. And the other stations, some other stations, some people at some other stations are saying, let's sell WBAI for millions of dollars, and then we don't have to worry about anything. We'll be flush with money, and we won't care. And we'll probably all be dead because we're old before there's another crisis of not having enough money again. That kind of thought is what's going on in some people in Pacifica. In any event, 1-212-209-2950 is the number to call if you want to become a BAI buddy and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And, you know, we bring all sorts of things to the program here. We aren't able to do as much science stuff as we had been doing, but we're certainly going to try and really get that in next time. I mean, we did the climate change stuff. That's science. So we did that, but we have some more stuff. I have a black hole thing that I'm trying to squeeze in here, but it's a little long, and we'll see if we can get that up for the next program or two there. So, we're asking you to go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950, and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And that will help a lot because it will help to keep WBAI on the air, and it will help to keep Back of the Book on WBAI. Management is looking at who raises money. And if you don't raise money, they're saying, well, you know, at some point here, you're what they call suspended. And so you're not going to be on anymore. They're going to take off programs, they're saying, that do not raise money. So we need to have people calling 1-212-209-2950 to become members. Again, 1-212-209-2950. If you want to make a one-time donation of any amount of money, I think it's $10 and up for that. If you want to make a donation one time without being a BAI buddy, same number, 1-212-209-2950. And, you know, we bring you all sorts of things. Besides the science stuff, we bring you also our takes on these political things. We do bring up our atheism now and again. And we are putting on a program you're not going to hear someplace else. 1-212-209-2950. Please give the call center a call at that number and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And write to me, rpm@glib.com, and let me know you've done it if you've done it. We'll thank you if you do. That has been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is
Everything Old is New Again, with Dave Kenny.
Dave Kenny, Dave Kenny. And so we should be back here next week. We're having some warmer than normal weather. And so, you know, it's happening. You can't make it not happen all on your own. So enjoy it if you can. And above all, remember what that Mourning Another Lost Friend Dormouse said.